The Bang Radio Hour is proud to be part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Be bold, stand out.
NFL preseason.
Okay, stand by.
Hey.
Bang Radio.
What?
The New York Giants select Daniel Jones. Oh. Quarterback. Okay. Duke.
How did that happen?
Why? Why?
Why? Why?
We got Odell! We got Odell!
Odell can't get no ball.
Ball God.
I don't like Tom Brady because he thinks he's good. He ain't.
Some of these people, I've never met him, never talked to him.
Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot. I understand.
At the end of the day, you're all going to die.
No.
And now, John.
I hate him.
And Tom.
I drink and I know things.
On the Bang Radio Hour.
They're becoming something.
Mayfield takes a shotgun snap, looks, throwing middle, up, caught it, touchdown, it's Higgins! Baker Mayfield on fire, and he goes into the end zone with the rest of the offense, and they snap a picture of Higgins in the left corner. And that's how it's going to go, everybody. 24 yards and a touchdown.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Oh, man. Jim Donovan all fired up. Let me tell you something, John. Oh, my God.
They're ready to win the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, it's over. Don't you know that? This is the most amazing football team ever just from that first series of their first preseason game. Didn't even have Odell. Didn't have Landry in. I didn't even see Njoku. I mean, Chubb played, but yeah. Oh, my God. Cleveland fans are out of their minds.
God, I love preseason, don't you? Don't you just love preseason?
Well, look, I think they're going to be a good football team, but calm down, folks. Please, here we go already. It's nuts.
You know, I tell you what, they can talk about who they didn't have in and everything like this, and I can sit right back and say that none of the Redskins' defensive line was in. Nobody that was playing in the secondary that's going to start, it was in. I don't know what number 31 was looking at, but he sure wasn't watching the middle of the field. But it's fucking practice, everybody, and so what it looks like. So what it looks like. Dwayne Haskins threw two bad interceptions. You see me panicking?
I didn't even think about the fact they were playing the Redskins. That's why you were making all the excuses. Okay, all right.
No, it's fucking practice.
Oh, you can make
pre-season,
excuses
baby.
For that.
It means nothing.
For that all you want, but your team has some legitimate internal issues going on, and we'll get to that coming up.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. So Jim Donovan all excited, Browns fans all excited, but what I want to talk about, this is so funny, I started reading about this stuff, you know, because they went through the whole coaching staff turnover.
Right.
Well, okay, so Hugh Jackson became head coach of the Browns in 2017, all right?
That's right, and I flew them right into the lake.
He hired Bob Wiley to be his offensive line coach. Now, this is the same position that Bob held when Hugh hired him in Oakland in 2011, and they were... Both fired after that season, by the way.
Listen, I got to tell you, once you find out that there's a guy like Bob around that knows where all the good eats are, that's the first guy that you hire. Where's the good buffets? He knew him in Oakland, now he knew him in Cleveland.
So the Browns fire Hugh midseason last year, but they held on to Bob, and Greg Williams filled in as head coach, and then in the offseason, of course, they make Freddie Kitchens the new head coach. Well, when they hired Freddie, they got rid of some of Hugh Jackson's guys, and that included Bob. And, you know, his contract expired. They just did not offer him a new deal. So his contract was up.
They just finally got him through the door.
Yeah, and you know, they didn't offer him a new one. The dude's 68 years old. He was having physical problems. He broke his ankle last year. He spent 122 days in the hospital.
Dude weighed 300 pounds. He probably broke his ankle just getting out of bed.
Well, now Bob's talking shit. First he said, oh, by the way, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 355. So now he says quarterback coach Ken Zampezi did all the coaching there after Hugh got fired. He says they didn't keep Zampezi, who, by the way, was on Marvin Lewis's staff with Hugh Jackson in Cincinnati. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Cleveland.
Right.
You get the idea here. They wanted to give the staff a big overhaul, and it needed it. It really needed
right.
it.
Right. So, well, again. You know, right. again. It needed it again.
Well, I think they kept, you know, getting rid of a head coach, but they kept, you know, you can't keep all these other staff members. You got to start over, you know?
You do. Or you just give Greg Williams the job, because right. I thought Greg Williams earned the job by turning them into a football team that was to be reckoned with.
Exactly.
But if they want a clean house, you're right. You got a clean house. And you can't have a big fat guy like Wiley anywhere near Kitchens, because it just doesn't work out. He won't ever get out of the dude.
Well, like I said, he said that Zampezi did all the coaching there, but then he says Greg Williams turned the team around. In the second half of the season, it was his right. work. It was his work that got it to where it is. My own personal feeling is Greg was too strong a candidate for the seat. I don't think Dorsey wanted to go head-to-head with Greg like he had to do with Andy Reid in Kansas City. So he kind of filtered Greg out of the picture, and he kept the search going. So he took a shot at Andy Reid at the same time here.
Right. Well, you know, it was Andy Reid out ate him one time at that freaking roadhouse. He won the trucker hat.
Right. Reid was always Reid was the head coach, so he always got to go up to the buffet first. He got to be first in line, and Bob had to wait.
That's right.
You know, there wasn't any chicken wings left ever when I got up there. God damn it. I had to wait for a fresh batch.
Well, then Bob went on to say the Browns only hired Kitchens because Baker Mayfield likes him. Now, that's absurd, because I heard Browns general manager John Dorsey talk about Kitchens last year. He was so impressed by him, and he talked about it during last season, and the Browns needed to change the culture of that coaching staff. It's been divided for several years. Okay.
Well, yeah, because since, like, what, 1985?
Right.
You know.
All right, so
back when old Boozy Bernie was pitching the ball around.
Boy, he didn't slur anything the other night.
Oh, yeah, they had him on TV. They dried him out, probably. Probably
well,
threw him in a trailer
yeah,
for a few
he years. Was doing, like, he wasn't in the booth. They'd go down to him on the field kind of thing.
Right.
But he was fine. Right. He was fine. I'm like, what? No, I don't like this Bernie.
Yeah, where's old Boozy Bernie?
Right. All right, so here's Freddie Kitchens. He's asked about Bob's comments.
It doesn't matter. Bob doesn't wear brown and orange anymore. All right? I had the opportunity to hire Bob. I didn't want to. I went to the hospital to see Bob every week he was in the hospital. All right? I FaceTimed Bob before every game, before we went out as a staff, just so he would continue to feel a part of it. So at what point does Bob realize that it was the players and not the coaches
Ooh.
That turned it around?
Wow.
Listen, Bob wasn't under contract. All right, he forgot to tell everybody that. He wasn't under contract. He had talked about retiring forever. All right? So sometimes when a person says something, they have to be made to feel relevant.
Wow. Great reply.
I kind of agree with him.
Great reply.
I kind of agree with him. It does sound like he's got some sour grapes, and he doesn't like grapes, obviously. He likes nothing but your fatty foods. He likes your fast foods. He likes your grains that are only covered in butter. But, yeah, man, he does. He sounds like he's just running his freaking mouth because he doesn't have a job, and they're going to be good without me.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Bob sees a chance to have a really good football team and be part of it, and now he can't be. And like I said, the coaching staff had been divided for several years, and I guess certain assistant coaches would talk to the media and tell them things they weren't supposed to, and Freddie Kitchens says that crap's all over with.
The days of inside information and the days of unnamed sources and stuff like that have ended. So you're not going to get any information like that ever. Anybody. And if I ever see it, they're fired immediately.
They're fired.
That's the way we're running this organization. And I can take it. John Dorsey can take it. We won't crack, I promise you.
Oh, I love it.
That's right. I'll tell you what, I kind of like him. He's got himself a good little attitude towards that kind of thing. They're fired. They're fired.
And you watch the game. You know what? I always talk about it. Guys like that who look like a fucking coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Some guys have a look. Some guys have a name. Look, I'll tell you what. Anytime that there's a quarterback drafted, I always roll his name around in my head to see if I can hear it on the, you know, the booth of a fucking Super Bowl championship podium or something.
Right.
Sometimes you just can't.
Right. All right,
who didn't know Joe Montana was going to win Super Bowls?
I'm going to stay on the Browns for a little bit here. I know we're a little Browns heavy up front, and then
that's fine.
We'll leave them
People
alone.
Like
but
them.
You know, that's it's an exciting time in Cleveland. It's, I mean, we how can we leave it alone? They've been so bad for so long, and now look what's happening on the banks of Lake Erie.
It's Believeland.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's
They've still got to do it. They've still got to do it. And they got to do it against something other than Redskins backup, you know, defensive players.
And you know what's crazy about this year that they haven't had in Cleveland forever? Expectations. This team has expectations big time on it now.
That's dangerous.
It can be, yes. Okay.
That's so dangerous.
I want to go back to something last year, though. Remember when Hugh Jackson got fired and he took a job back in Cincinnati on their coaching staff?
That's right. And I'm going to get right over to my best friend's wife's house.
That's right. And Baker Mayfield got mad and called him a traitor, said he couldn't believe he went to their arch rival. And it's like, I'm like, okay, Baker, wait a minute. The dude got fired and needed a job. That would be like
Baker
me getting
got him fired.
If a dude got fired from McDonald's and went across the street to Burger King, are you going to fault him for that?
Well, of course not. But then again, he is a very low wage worker, and who gives a fuck what he does? He's not an important person. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares if he even gets hit by a car if he's walking across the street, unless a rich person happens to be driving the car.
Right.
Then it's a problem.
All right. Well, so now Hugh Jackson actually addresses what happened. And what needs to happen after Baker, called him a traitor.
I think it'd be for him to clear the air. You know, I've been coaching in this league a long time, and coached a lot of players, never had anybody say that about me or feel that way about me. So that's different. Again, if there was something I said or something I did, I think he knows that I try to come from a good place. Nobody's perfect. There was nothing that I know that I did to him that would have made him feel the way he did.
Aw.
Please, Baker, if there was something I said, if it was anything that I did, I'm so sorry. I mean, but I think you owe it to me to come and say that you're sorry, too, because, you know, we had something special there, Baker. We were growing on the sidelines, and then they made you get in the football game because Tyrod couldn't do it, and then I didn't get a chance to say as much as I wanted to, and now look at us. I think it's up to you to call me. Call me. Call me, Baker. Please, call me.
All right, as I said, Odell Beckham did not play Thursday night.
Neither did anybody. I mean, really, Baker Mayfield was throwing passes to underneath tight ends and running backs. They had a couple of I think Chubb maybe played two plays.
Yeah, Chubb looked great.
You know, yeah, he got a couple of little small swing passes. He got a couple of small runs, but maybe five plays, get a sweat and get out.
All right, so Beckham did an interview with GQ magazine. Like, remember, they got Jalen Ramsey last year. This year it was Odell.
Right.
And, you know, GQ will get guys to open up about some stuff.
Is he going to come out of the closet?
Yeah, no. This is about his nasty breakup with the Giants. Okay.
His nasty breakup.
Well, that's what they called it. Says he felt disrespected after getting shipped to Cleveland after everything I've done for them.
After everything I did for the Giants, they sent me off to Cleveland.
he was traded to Browns back in March, and he says the move was a slap in the face, claiming he kept the team relevant despite losing all the time.
That's right.
He did.
Somewhat, yeah.
Look, when we was getting our asses kicked, what did I do? I go over and I get pushed in the face by a kicking net, and that makes everybody talk about us again. And then the next week, I make up with the kicking net, and we get married. I mean, what do you want?
He says, quote, "This is me being honest. This team has not been good for the last 6 years, period. Even the year we went to the playoffs and everyone was talking about this and that, I felt disrespected because I felt like I was the main reason at keeping that brand alive. They were getting primetime games still as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people want to see the show. You want to see me play. That's just real rap. I'm not sitting here like, it's because of me, but let's just be real. That's why we're still getting primetime games. I felt disrespected. They weren't even man enough to even sit me down to my face and tell me what's going on."
He's getting primetime games against the Redskins on Monday night or Thursday night football. Shut up, dude. This is not like you're getting... It's because you're on the East Coast. That's why there's a lot of people out here. And you don't play for the Jets. And that's a really big plus when you're in the biggest market on the East.
Odell says he had been praying to get traded all of last season, which I don't understand why he's upset. He was praying all last season to get traded, so he did. And he says while he still has love for Giants, this is going to make you sick to your stomach, John. He says he still has love for Giants president John Mara.
Ugh.
Yeah, and he was upset he didn't get a chance to have a face-to-face meeting with Coach Pat Shurmur before the trade. And then he says, quote, "But then to be called like that and then be texted by your coach and be like, oh, yeah, I heard the news. Yeah, you heard the news. It happened because of you. The reason I'm gone is because of you." Odell said a trade was inevitable because he wasn't in a good place and wasn't happy with the team anymore. So, again, he's kind of like he's saying, I can't believe this happened. You shouldn't have done this to me. But it sounds like he wanted to be traded. We're just talking about Odell.
Hear me, O mortals, and welcome once again to another football season of praising me for great plays and wonderful touchdowns.
Oh, you granted the trade to his prayer.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
Odell prayed and he said, I would like to be traded, so I sent him to Cleveland, which he might think is an insult, but it's not. He is there to be a bringer of peace and love and harmony to the banks of the Great Erie.
Okay.
Excuse me, God's got a frog in his throat this morning.
Wow. Hey, you should stick around.
I should stick around. This bit about Hugh Jackson wanting Baker Mayfield to apologize to him is rather amusing. What a ridiculous idiot.
I didn't bring any of the audio, but we're about to talk about the Hall of Fame. And, of course, everybody thanked you. I just don't have any of the sound from it.
Of course they did. I have a message first, Tom. Hugh Jackson, grow a pair.
Jeez. Actually, you know what? You can run along. Come back later if you want, but we got other stuff to get to.
Yeah, I've got some things to do, some stuff to do around the house, you know, so I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
I have spoken!
All right, we didn't need to. I, after thinking about it, I'm like, did I really just ask him to stay, John? I didn't think that was a good idea.
I was wondering what the hell you were talking about. You know, he's always fucking with the shit, all the magazines on the coffee table and everything.
I know, everything's he leaves everything a mess, and he always stinks up the kitchen because he burns the popcorn.
He steals the Field and Stream every damn month.
All right, so Pat Shurmur has now commented on OBJ's comments.
I really don't have any reaction other than I know when the trade was made, we felt like we went through it in a professional way. He was out of the country at the time when it happened, and we made efforts to get in touch with him, but he was out of the country. And so, listen, I've said it all along. You know, we're hopeful that he can go to Cleveland and help them win football games.
Is that what you're hopeful for, Pat? Is that what you really want to see? You want to see Odell go win a Super Bowl with Cleveland?
How funny will it be when he does, or if he does?
Oh,
I like when he says, I don't really have any reaction except all of this right here. Everything I'm going to say now.
Oh, I know. I don't have any reaction except to say.
Let me give you everything.
Okay. So, you know what's going to be really fun is next year when Cleveland plays the Giants.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That'll be really fun. Of course, by then, I think Eli will be gone. It'll just be Daniel Jones out there, so that kind of aspect of it will be gone. But
the Odell versus the Giants will be there.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Jones will be throwing interceptions just as likely as Eli would.
Well, he looked pretty good on his first drive. He looked like Baker.
I know. You know, and people make all kinds of hay about it. I swear to God, I love preseason. I love preseason. It's like all these people that follow me during the course of the year that I follow back, as soon as I see them say some shit about, you know, look at Daniel Jones, they made the right pick. Look at the Redskins. They made an idiot pick because of one quarter of first game preseason action for fucking rookies. Check these motherfuckers off. Nothing to say there.
Every year, man. Every year. All right, so it'll be fun to follow the Browns and see how it goes. If they can, these expectations on them and everything, that'll be fun. All right, here's something fun. Patrick Mahomes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. All right, this isn't about his voice. It's actually it's about what he says. Of course, his voice is there, which it's always there.
It's always going to be there. It's always there.
Exactly. Okay, so I was listening to him do a press conference, and they would ask the question, and every single answer, John, starts with, yeah, I mean, half the time he says, obviously, You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean. So maybe what we can do is if there's some intrepid sportswear guy out there or something like that running a shop that wants to sponsor something like this, give us a prize. We can have a contest where people have to guess how many times he says, yeah, I mean, during a press conference, during one random week, we just pick a post-game press conference. How many times is he going to say, yeah, I mean?
In this particular session, he got asked five questions, and those are the five I have, and so here's the first one.
So how different do you feel going into this season compared to last training camp, your first year as a starter?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I feel different having a season under my belt where I got to play all 16 games.
Okay, there's the first one.
Yeah, I mean.
Here's the second one.
How important is it to get on the same page with Mecole Hardman, his first rookie training camp?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's going to be someone that's going to be featured in the
offense. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Brain engage, quick. At this point, any more, any less than it was at this time last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you first come to training camp, you expect to win the Super Bowl.
Got a lip smack before that one. Here's the next one.
What part of that is the AFC Championship game? What part of that is it in your motivation?
Yeah, I mean, every win and every loss you use going into the next season.
Yeah, he didn't say obviously that time, but he still said, yeah, I mean, and here's the fifth one.
How different was this offseason from the ones that you've had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I had more
offseason. He almost said obviously. Listen, he came real close. Listen.
His brain said, no, find another synonym. Find another synonym.
He's out there, Tom. He's just controlling what he can control. It's all he can control.
Oh, we love Patrick Mahomes.
Tom can control.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him this season because he is on the cover of the new Madden, and we're going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. We got some good stuff about the new Madden game.
I'm wondering if somebody's going to cut him in our fantasy league, because if he does, I'm considering making him my first pick.
Who, Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
No. Matt is not going to. No, I already know Matt's keeping him. He's not getting rid of Patrick Mahomes. Are you kidding? He's the number one quarterback in fantasy football.
Come on, Matt.
And he's got other guys to keep, so he has no, you know, there's no reason for him to let Mahomes go.
Well, I got a nice set of keepers this year, I'd like to say, and that's about it. I'm glad we're drafted soon.
Yes. A
couple of weeks.
Yeah. 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 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 25th.
Snuck up on me this year.
Yeah. All right. So let's get on to the Hall of Fame from last Saturday.
I didn't see any of it.
You didn't see any?
No, I didn't see any of it. That entire day I was working down at the City Open. Actually, that was the day that I went to the City Open I had VIP. The whole thing was great. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, you went to a big time professional tennis match and had like you had credentials of the Super Bowl hot chick.
Well, yeah, but I didn't have to do anything with him. You know, I had a nice box seat down there, nice and close, man. It was nice. Got to watch Nick Kyrgios play the number six player in the world, beat him, and that was fun, man. Dude, when they say the 140 mile an hour serve on TV, it doesn't quite look like what it looks like when you're sitting there. Holy shit!
Oh, I'll bet.
It was intense. I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of sporting events, all kinds of games. This was very intense, much more intense than you'd actually expect, because it could be over quick.
Well, I would imagine, I've always felt that tennis was probably like hockey, like NASCAR. It's probably a much better sport if you're there live.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's not just that, too, but in these smaller tournaments, these feeder tournaments for the U.S. Open, it can be over quick, and it's not like, you know, when a team gets its ass kicked in a football game, it's 3 hours of them just getting their ass kicked.
Right.
In a tennis match, if you get your ass kicked, it's two slashes across the throat. You're done in 20 minutes. Bye. We're done. Bye. Get the fuck out of here. Bye.
All right. Well,
so, yeah, it's pretty quick.
In the Hall of Fame that you missed, I didn't get a whole lot here. I got a couple clips here from Ty Law, which addressed the same issue. He's going to address his children, all his children. You know, they always have all their family there.
Right.
Well, here Ty Law addresses his children. I just want to play this. It's pretty quick.
I can't leave this stage without honoring the loves of my life. I like to call them my starting five. My children. Taya, Ty-Ty, Phoenix, Sydney, and Dallas. You guys are my everything. I pray that I'm always here to guide you, advise you, parent, and protect you. My world has and always will revolve around you guys.
Okay, so he got choked up. He loves his kids. That's great. That was awesome. I thought that was great. But then,
right.
But then, okay, when they showed the picture of his kids in the audience, all five in a row, and there was one adult woman holding the youngest kid in her lap.
Okay, wait a minute. I got four names here. Sydney, Dallas, Phoenix, and Ty.
And Taya. You forgot Taya. Taya. Taya.
Right, so here's what I've gathered. This is where these kids were conceived.
Is that
this one
what
was on,
it is?
On vacation
is,
in Australia, right?
Is that what it is?
All right. This one was on a trip to Dallas. This one was on a trip to Phoenix. And Ty, I owe Taya, I only have to assume, is with a prostitute in Thailand.
Okay.
Might have been even a, well, it couldn't have been a lady boy, but you get the picture. All right. Anything goes over there.
If you're new to the show, John is making all of this up in his mind, just in case you're
wondering. No, I'm just did logical deduction, Tom.
Because that's how John's mind works.
Well, Sydney, Dallas, Phoenix, what if her name was Philadelphia? What would you think?
I'm fine with that. If your mind didn't work that way, we wouldn't have a show. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I think it's quite obvious here.
All right, so now, here's the thing. So like I said, you can see his five kids and one adult woman holding the youngest one. Well, apparently on the outside edge of each kid, on the ends, was another woman, right?
Okay.
So he has five kids with three different moms, and I'm not going to fault him for that, but now he's going to address each one of them, and it's so awkward, man. What are you doing? He's now going to go through each baby mama.
Let me step right into this minefield.
Holy crap. And, here it is.
I would like to honor some of the amazing women in my life who have blessed me with these starting five I'm talking about. Misha, thank you for always being there and supporting me. You gave me the best gift that anyone can ever ask for in our daughter, Taya. I want to salute you for raising our daughter to be the beautiful young lady that she is. Thank you so much for being a wonderful mother and friend. Love you, Misha.
Taya, by the way, sitting there looking at her phone.
Nicole Haynes, you challenge me to be a better version of myself. Your support and belief in me means so much, words don't do it justice. You are that voice of reason in so many ways. I don't like to admit it, but you are right most of the time.
And she's like, she's got her hand in the air, putting her hand up and down like fist pumping, going, thank you, thank you.
Meanwhile, Nisha's over on the side going, fuck that bitch. Who the fuck she thinks she is?
No, that's what I'm thinking going through my head. I said it's so awkward.
Gave me the most expensive jewelry.
I thank you so much. You're an amazing woman and, more importantly, incredible mother to our daughter, Sydney. Thank you so much for being an important part of my life. Love you.
And she mouthed back, love you too. So I don't know if they're currently together because she's the one holding the youngest child. So
they ain't going to punch her. She's got the little baby.
Okay, so here's the last one.
To Benvinda, a.k.a. Benny, thank you so much for being that constant in my life. You have sacrificed so much for me.
I can't imagine.
You put some of your dreams and your life on pause so I can live out mine.
Like with these bitches over here.
There's absolutely no way that I would be standing here without you. You're a superwoman. Thank you for blessing me with three wonderful kids, Ty Jr., Phoenix, and Dallas. Thank you, Ben Bean. Love you.
It was so weird to me. Maybe it's me. I don't know, man, but it was just weird.
It's the Real Housewives of Ty Law.
Yeah. What? No, I told you to go away.
Let me tell you something here, Tom, and let me tell you so everybody can hear it loud and clear one more time. One man, or one woman, or one whatever, with whatever, I don't care what it is, but just one and one, it makes these kinds of things go a lot easier. Let this be a lesson to the rest of you. Don't be like Ty Law.
Okay.
I have spoken.
Oh, man. We just got to stop.
Yeah, he's got a point.
We got to stop talking about anything that relates to him. Which can't, well, you can't really, because everything relates to him.
Right. Of course, if it wasn't people philandering around, we wouldn't have half as much fun on the show with the Hall of Fame. That was pretty good. Ty Law pointing out all his baby mamas. That's nice.
Crazy. All right. So let's see. Now we can move on to Ed Reed. I'm just going to play this. He's going to thank people in Baltimore.
I'd like to thank that organization, Steve Bisciotti, Ozzie Newsome, Coach Belichick.
Coach Belichick and his staff. What are you doing, Ed Reed? What is that?
Did he play for Brian Billick?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably what he meant. And, well, goodness gracious,
yes,
this
course.
Is certainly embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it?
I'd like to thank that organization, Steve Bisciotti, Ozzie Newsome, Coach Belichick, his staff, Coach Harbs, his staff. There's too many people to mention. I know I'm going to miss some people, man, but I love all y'all guys, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you met some people. Billick's going, what the fuck happened? Why? Why me?
Brian Billick's big old forehead's turning bright red. The smartest man in the room is embarrassed. Oh, yeah. Such a... Ed Reed has made a faux pas. This is embarrassing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love Ed Reed. He was great. Oh, this was good. I was so happy to hear Ed Reed in this part, you know, because he played for the Miami Hurricanes from what was 2000 to 2002, whatever that stretch, those 3 years where they were just phenomenal, which,
right.
Of course, that as far as a college football dynasty goes, ended in the 2002 national championship losing to my Buckeyes. But anyway,
right.
You know, I mean, you talk about Reggie Wayne came from that team. Right. The chosen one, John, the chosen one came from that team.
Right.
Sean.
The soldier.
Sean Taylor came from that team.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. In fact,
he must have gotten onto that team late because he was drafted with like 2005, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know, but he was the one. He was an interception or a fumble. I think
he didn't play with Ray Lewis in them.
No, but he was the one who recovered a fumble. And Maurice Claret chased him down and took it back from him in that championship game.
Okay.
Yeah, Kellen Winslow Jr.
That's a long time ago.
Kellen Winslow Jr. was on that team.
The soldier.
That's right. The chosen one.
The soldier. He's the fucking soldier.
So anyway, so he's talking. Reggie Wayne's in the audience, and Ed Reed is Reggie, thank you. And he starts talking about the Hurricanes. And I know you've gotten into these debates. You've heard people make these claims before. I've gotten into these debates where... Mm-hmm. A college team is so awesome, people will say they could beat some NFL teams. And I always go, you're out of your mind. You are out of your mind. All right, well, this comes up as Ed Reed's talking. Listen.
We rebuilt that orange and green, bro. We won that national championship when he left. Like no other, man. That Hurricane team there, all my teammates in college, I know a bunch of y'all are here. I ain't going to ask y'all to stand up because I know y'all are tired. But man, no, I love you guys. That was a special run. We were undefeated. I know they say we could have beat some NFL teams, but I played in this league. It wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen. Nope.
I would not disrespect this league.
Thank you.
Not even those Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals, right?
Hold up. Hold on. Or the Cleveland Browns. Now hold on, don't boo me. Can I get an OH?
And of course you must follow.
I have the utmost respect for both of those organizations. I have 30 picks between two teams. Not my fault y'all changed quarterbacks, man.
Right. That is great. I love them. I love both those teams. I got 30 interceptions between them.
That's right. That's terrific. That's great.
Right.
His bust was great. His bust was one of the best I've ever seen. Everybody says so.
And it looked just like him, man. That dude, he's got a crazy beard and, oh, wow.
Yeah,
he was great. Let's see. And then, oh, man. All right, it's going to get a little heavy for just a second here.
All right.
Well, Champ Bailey made a really powerful statement about racism, and it's self-explanatory. I mean, he's just talking about problems that they face, you know, in everyday life. And this is what he said.
The first thing people see when they look at me is not a Pro Football Hall of Famer or a husband or a father. They view me first as a black man. So on behalf of all the black men that I've mentioned tonight and many more out there who've had the most of the same experiences I've had in my lifetime, we say this to all of our white friends. When we tell you about our fears, please listen. When we tell you we're afraid for our kids, please listen. When we tell you there are many challenges we face because of the color of our skin, please listen. And please do not get caught up in how the message is delivered. Yes. Yes, most of us are black men or are athletes, but we are black men first. Understand this. The things that make us great on the field, like our size and our aggression, are the same things that can get us killed off the field. I believe if we start listening, there's no telling the progress we can make. All of us are dads, sons, brothers, your friends. We all understand that if we can't get our friends to listen, then no one will. And to my black brothers, if you do not have anything positive to say about our social challenges, please keep your mouth shut.
How about that?
I think that's pretty tight.
Man.
I think that's pretty tight. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is around here in Washington, the primary story was that Dan Snyder didn't call Champ Bailey up to congratulate him. I'm not kidding. That barely made a blip on the radar with what he said right there. But the fact that Dan Snyder didn't call him up, oh my God, he's the worst person ever. This, you know, I always call the Redskins fan base the stupidest fan base in the world. Now they're the most reactionary. Our fan base is a Jerry Springer audience. I'm telling you, that's what we are, audience territory. Everything sets them off. Everything. Everything becomes personal. Everything is personal, and if you're not 100% with the team, you're 100% against the team. Oh, God, it's ridiculous. But we'll get into that when you said you had something about them later. We'll get into that because I'm sure it's about Trent Williams, and that's ridiculousness.
Oh, no. This has nothing to do with any players.
All right, because we're probably going to have to trade Mr. All-Pro left tackle.
Your coach doesn't seem to think it's going to happen.
I know, but they don't ever tell him anything. Well, honest to God, true. They really don't. All right.
So, I guess this is still kind of on the topic of race, but Donald Trump was asked if he thought Colin Kaepernick should be able to play in the league this year. Here's the guy asking him the question.
Should Colin Kaepernick get an opportunity to play in the NFL?
Only if he's good enough. And I think if he was good enough, I know the owners. I know Bob Kraft. I know so many of the owners. If he's good enough, they'd sign him. So if he's good enough, I know these people. They would sign him in a heartbeat. They will do anything they can to win games. So I'd like to see it. Frankly, I'd love to see Kaepernick come in if he's good enough. But I don't want to see him come in because somebody thinks it's a good PR move.
Well, the reason he doesn't have a job isn't because he wasn't good enough. It's because it would have been a bad PR move,
right?
President.
Right. Literally. Jesus. Not in that fit. It would turn off fans that weren't there. It would just turn your whole locker room into a fucking Ringling Brothers circus. It's crazy.
The media. Oh. The media would be nuts. What do you think about playing with Colin Kaepernick? What do you think about it? Did you see we just won 40-10 today? I don't care. What do you think about Colin Kaepernick?
Remember last year with the Redskins? Hadn't assigned two quarterbacks after November. Oh, why didn't you go after Colin Kaepernick? And well, you know why. That's why. And even though they didn't even sign him, it made such stink headlines all over the goddamn place. Look, if somebody wants to play him, go ahead and play him. Trump already did his damage to whatever it goes on with that because he's going to make sure that he's centerpiece number one. If he plays, whoever takes the chance on him in the locker, you know who I think could do it? Philadelphia could do it. They need a backup quarterback. Sudfeld got hurt. He broke his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. But he hasn't played for 2 years. I don't know if he could get back quickly enough and be ready to play, but I don't know. He says he stayed in shape.
A second stringer behind Wentz, I think they could get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think if he were needed by then, I would hope he was ready to play. I just don't know. I don't know what 2 years. Michael Vick stepped right back on the field and played fine, didn't he? He played great actually when he got out of prison.
It's more about whether or not the locker room in the city can handle it, and I think Philadelphia can. And frankly, Philadelphia, now that I've said that, if you don't, you're just a bunch of racist fuckers.
Well, you know what? Look, and of course it could be because of Andy Reid, but I mean at least the organization itself, which was still owned by Jeff Lurie at the time, did reach out and sign Michael Vick, and he became their starting quarterback. So,
right.
Yeah, they could do that. All right. Well, anyway, we'll see how that shakes out. So we got a couple holdouts. We got several holdouts, but a couple notable ones, obviously Melvin Gordon,
right,
with the Chargers, and this one looks like it is absolutely going to get ugly.
I don't see where he's got a leg to stand on.
Well, they offered him $10 million a year. And he laughed.
Yeah, why don't you take the money and run, Melvin Gordon? Obviously, they devalue the position, and everybody knows with the slotted rookie contracts, they can go after somebody else. Even a first-round pick's only going to cost them $3 million a year, $4 million a year.
They got a couple other running backs, though. I mean, Austin Eckler might be just fine, man.
Yes, he is.
You know?
Dude is pretty badass. Yeah, every time they have to leave him in there, man, the dude does just fine.
This reminds me of Le'Veon Bell, and all of a sudden, James Conner becomes a household name. You know, and
that's
stud,
right,
and a top 10 fantasy pick this year. So, and then
not
so
in your league.
Well, and then you look at Zeke, and now his same thing's going on. Now, granted, look, Zeke, I get it. Zeke was the biggest percentage of the offense. Zeke is special. I mean, his size and strength and speed combination is ridiculous. There's not a lot of guys like that in the league, and I don't want to lose him. A lot of people say they should trade Zeke. I mean, I listen to Colin Blowherd just fucking going on and on about it, and he made some good points, you know?
I guess. Yeah, but who's going to trade?
Yeah,
because it all boils back down to what kind of value can you get out of a rookie contract as opposed to paying an elite running back? Jerry Jones said you don't need to have a Russian champion to win the Super Bowl.
No, but he also said he is going to get a deal done and Zeke will be playing week one. So we'll see about that. I don't know. I don't know what kind of demands they're making. Now, we are on the Belly Up Sports Network.
I have a good idea. Jerry has pulled this ship into the fucking port at Cabo.
Right.
Now look here, goddammit. I know y'all got him out there. Y'all either put him on this gangplank or I'm opening fire.
The only thing that drives me crazy about it is he's got 2 years left on his league. At what point do these contracts matter anymore?
I guess when you feel undervalued, you feel undervalued. It's not like it used to be a lot of holdouts. Now there's very few, so.
Right. Well, two years. He's still got 2 years. Dak and Amari Cooper, they're going into the last year of their contract. They need to get deals done with them. Thought we can get those done, and then next year we'll get Zeke's done, and now he's doing this, and it's making it very difficult because they're trying to get all three of them done at the same time and not destroy their cap. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I get that. All right, but so back to Belly Up Sports Network. We're a member of this network, okay, we're on. Well,
right. They
have writers on their network.
Right.
Tom,
right.
I don't know if it's Blaschkow or Blaschkow or Blasco.
I'm going to go right out on a limb and say it's Blaschkow.
Okay. It's Blaszkow.
I don't know. Yeah. Blaschkow.
Okay.
Blaschkow.
Well, we'll call him Tom.
Yeah. Blaschkow. We'll go with the James Bond pronunciation. Blaschkow.
All right. The headline is, the Cowboys need to trade Ezekiel Elliott. It's that simple. Article over. Of course, he went on to write an article.
Well, then see, he's already losing it on my credibility scale here.
He goes, okay, I
he's
know.
He's lied to me right off the bat.
He says, okay, I know I can't just end it there. Yes, Elliott has put up great numbers since coming into the league, but that's why he needs to be traded. He currently has value that outweighs what a cancer he is to the Cowboys and to
a
the
cancer.
League and to the league as a whole. Well, if he's a cancer to the entire league, then what kind of trade value does he really have?
A cancer.
He's a cancer.
I don't know that he's a cancer. I mean, the dude is most of the offense. If he's a little bit of a diva, so what? I don't think that the bullshit that went on with his girlfriend is long under the bridge, I think. And all the other crap that you see, this business with this guy out in Las Vegas that flopped worse than any NBA player I've ever seen.
Right.
Holy fucking shit. I mean, people have said to me, well, he's got to be smart enough not to get in that position. Yeah, I get it. But
Fucking A, man. I mean, come on. Your next thing you're going to know, you're going to see Zeke driving down the road, and it's going to be like one of those Russian dash cams where those people just wander out in front of cars, and fall off the hood.
Right. Yeah, that, by the way, that security guard, Kyle Johnson. Kyle, you asshole.
Hey, Kyle.
He did not want to press charges when it happened. He goes, no, I'm not pressing charges, because it was nothing. And if you've seen the video, you know it was fucking nothing. So he didn't want to press charges. But then the NFL did not do anything. They said there's no suspension for Zeke. It was nothing. We're not suspending him for this. So now Kyle Johnson has gone to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police and said he wants to press battery charges. He told Fox 5 in Vegas to not have anything happen to him. The NFL is basically saying it's okay to go to Vegas, get obliterated, and shove people over fences. Well, you didn't press charges when it happened, so obviously you didn't think it deserved it either.
God damn it. I swear to God, we are nothing but a bunch of pussies anymore. Nobody takes responsibility for anything. Dude, you took a dive, and that's all there was to it. By the way, speaking of stupid people, Tom, speaking of absolutely fucking stupid people, do you know that right now that there's a fact that people that believe, there are people out there that believe that Zeke is doing this because Jerry Jones is covering up a car accident that Zeke caused that fucking caused grievous bodily harm to somebody, and they're covering it up. What the fuck? This has to do with a holdout. I don't know, but they think they're covering it up. They're covering up something that would cause.
Who said this? Because
obviously, there's grievous bodily harm. Hospitals, doctors, nurses.
Who said this?
Oh, dude, this is all over the realms of social media. You know, the bastions of truth and freaking all kinds of great stuff like that. It's just ridiculous the things that people believe. Oh, yeah, they're covering it up.
Well, if it's all over the place, though, why is it all over the place? Is there something to it?
Well, because everybody that parrots something like this on social media thinks that they've got it figured out. So the fact that it's all over the place because they know it doesn't actually strike them.
All right. Well, whatever, Kyle. Kyle, this all really what happened is...
whatever, Kyle.
Elliot apologized, and now he is saying he didn't believe the apology was sincere. It seemed very unsympathetic, so now he has to file battery charges. So whatever, man.
Coming up next on Gay Soap Opera, Kyle apologizes to Elliot.
Well, anyway, so Tom then goes through all the great things Elliot did. He's talking about Elliot's value, all the stats from the past, his first three seasons in the league, all the touchdowns, everything, blah, blah, blah. Oh, but he did say his numbers are still towards the top of the league, but are steadily declining. Well, there was a 6-game suspension, you know, year before last, so those steadily numbers declining. Are not going to be up as high. But he's talking about his yards per game. His yards per game has dropped each season from 108.7 to 98.3 to 95.6. Well, you know why? Because the quarterback play got better and better and better. That's why.
Not only that, but didn't your offensive tackle come down with some kind of fucked up weird ass bone disease or some kind of shit?
Yeah, and then last year we lost our center. Guard? Yeah, our center. No, Travis Frederick last year.
Right.
He's back. He's back and ready to go. All right, so now he moves on to the off-the-field issues. He says, like I said, Zeke started 2017 on a 6-game suspension. He appealed it until it was eventually upheld, and he served the full suspension. All right. He was suspended for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. He was accused of domestic violence against his ex-girlfriend in 2016. While he was never criminally charged, the NFL determined they had sufficient evidence to suspend him. All right. Well, but yet, no charges for the police. No evidence by that the police could find. In fact, there were witnesses who said that girl was lying her ass off. I don't know. And he says, and if that is enough, Elliot was detained at a concert in Las Vegas, Nevada on May 19th. He was caught on video pushing his girlfriend to attempt to keep her from walking away during an argument. After security guards approached them, Elliot got into an altercation. I never even heard this thing about their girlfriend before. Heard nothing about it. I saw when I watched the video, he was just kind of wandering around drunk.
No, he puts his foot right in her ass, man.
Oh,
he
is that
kicks the shit out of her.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he winds up like freaking Jan Stenerud and gives her the boot.
Okay. Eventually, he pushed one of the guards, causing him to fall over a security barrier. Police responded to the incident and detained Zeke, but eventually released him as the guard decided not to press charges. All right. So then he goes on to say
guard,
why.
You know why the guard decided not to press charges? Because the League of Men came along and said, look, if you press charges on something like this, we will take your balls.
Exactly. All right, so this is why he says they need to trade Zeke.
Don't forget the covered-up car accident, Tom.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean,
right,
you know, if you're going to lay it all out there, you got to lay it all out there. Don't forget the covered-up car accident. Jerry Jones has this kind of power.
This is crazy. Elliot is constantly the talk of the league, getting himself in trouble. There is always a controversy. What?
This is the internet nowadays, man.
Two things. Two things. No charges were ever This is unbelievable. While he wasn't suspended for the latest incident, I highly doubt this will be the last. You doubt it. All right. Well, the Cowboys already have a bad enough reputation in regards to off-field issues. What team out there, is he not watching the rest of the NFL, or is he only paying attention to Dallas?
I mean, recently, other than Zeke Elliott, what else you got?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, Dez Bryant acting like a fool, but he hasn't been a Cowboy for a while.
We had a couple guys get suspended for weed, for getting high, I guess.
No.
They failed their pee test, but that's going on all over the league. You know what else is going on all over the league? PEDs. Oh, my God. I cannot believe the guys keep getting suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. We just lost Quinn, our defensive end, for the first two games of the year because he tested positive for something that was in his medication. I think some of this stuff is out of control, man. They really need to – there's no common sense involved.
The CBA needs to change. They're going to have to vote on it again pretty soon. So that's when the players got to really stand up for themselves because they did get fucked in the last CBA pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think Goodell's going to have the power of God after this next contract comes up. Anyway, in association with these issues, you also can't pay a running back in this league. Zeke's production is already dropping, and we're all seeing what has happened in L.A. with Todd Gurley. The Cowboys have 35 players with contracts ending at the end of this coming season. That is a concern. That includes Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Jalen Smith, and Byron Jones. And we need to make sure we keep all four of them. They did just sign DeMarcus Lawrence, 5 years, $105 million, and they are tight on cap space. And that he's right about that. Pull a Jimmy Johnson, trade Elliott like he traded Herschel Walker. I don't think you're ever going to get a trade like that again. Get a load of picks for him. Then when Dak doesn't play up to a $34 million a year contract, you don't have to pay him out like that either. You'll see Dak's true underwhelming worth. So he's saying we should get rid of Zeke, then we'll see how much Dak sucks, and then we don't have to keep him either. And then we'll be just fine, John.
I guess. Sounds logical to me.
Jesus. Come on, man. Come on, Tom. I don't know if you're an Eagles fan or what, man, but that's a little ridiculous.
Well.
Now, if you could show me the team that's willing to give up what the Vikings gave up for Herschel Walker. If you find me a team that's willing to give up that kind of deal, then I would say, okay, well, maybe we should.
That's never going to happen.
But nobody's going to make a trade like that ever again. Nobody's going to give that kind of crap up.
No. Nothing like that ever going to happen again. All right, Tom has melted down about the Cowboys. All right, it must be football season.
Woohoo! Let's get on to this, because two other people are debating about Zeke and his new contract. You know, we don't have Stephen A. Smith.
One of them was me, goddammit.
We don't have Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless together anymore.
Life went on, I know. It was hard to believe, but life did go on.
Well, it's not the same. I don't watch First Take like I used to. I don't like the guy I can never remember his name, that Stephen A. debates with. I don't dislike him. It's just not the same. It's not as good as him and
Skip. This is when we cue to the film of Tom running through the park with a 6-year-old and a kite, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, this is how you get yourself out there.
All right.
You make it look like you're doing something other than wasting time with Skip Bayless.
Right, right. Okay, now I gotcha. Okay.
I'm skip-free for 2 years.
So his counterpart was off, and filling in with Stephen A. was one Michael Irvin. So it was Stephen A. against Michael Irvin. Okay.
Dude, he was sweating through a fucking sports jacket. You know how he wears his suits with all these fucking wild-ass colors and shit? He was sweat. His underarm sweat was coming through it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit.
It was nuts. All right.
Yeah.
So before they even get into Zeke, Stephen A. is going to tell him he made a big mistake coming on the show to debate him.
You do know you already started off this show getting yourself in a world.
I ain't getting myself in a world of trouble.
First of all, you're in a world of trouble by just showing up. Congratulations to you for just the bravery.
Oh, my God.
Because, listen. I love my, Rich
Eisen. Go ahead, on, do your thing.
Rich Eisen, Mariucci, Kurt Warner, Danny Thompson.
My boys.
Love those brothers. Do a great job for the NFL Network. But I am not them. They are kind on a Sunday morning. Far kinder than I'm going to be to you today. So brace yourself for this. Let's go down this list, right, Laura? Let's understand something here. This is the same man. We just showed footage of him showing up at Texas Live with a packed audience. Oh, yes, I yes. have taken over his show.
No, I did. Don't bring that into correct tense. I did take over your show.
Okay, I'm just saying, step back. That's number one. We are in New York. You were raving at that particular moment in time about the Cowboys, all
right?
Even though they ended up losing that Monday Night Football game, but that's neither here nor there.
But went on a run and got in the playoffs. Okay, tell the whole story.
Then I just tell you on the
talk. Okay, go ahead.
It's out of control already. We're less than a minute into the show. You can't understand a fucking word.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. I think whoever's the powers that be that ESPN should go ahead and look at this right now and sign Michael Irvin to a contract. You saw that kid in Oakland that went to the Oakland A's game and went into one of those pitching machines and threw a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, and they signed him to a contract?
Yeah.
ESPN, take the fucking hint. Sign Michael Irvin to let him do this.
I don't know if he can since he actually works for NFL Network. I don't know how that would work. I don't know how that works. I have no idea. I don't know what his contract situation is, but I don't want to lose him on NFL Network either.
I think the Guinness people should be looking into how many words were actually said by two men right then and there in the last 12 and a half seconds? Holy shit.
I don't know how many times I heard, all right, and go ahead.
Right. You have come right in here and you have made a mistake right off the bat, Mr. Sweaty Michael Irvin.
Yeah, well, he wants to know if Michael is siding with the Cowboys or with Zeke on giving him, you know, whatever his contract demands are.
I love Jerry Jones. Love him to death. I call myself Michael Irvin Jones. I'm his only brother, son. I love Jerry Jones, and I love the Cowboys. I love Zeke.
Right. You dance. You dance.
I'm giving you the truth. I love Zeke. Okay. I love Zeke. But I love the star more than anything. And the star is not the star without Zeke. So by proxy, that puts me on Zeke's side.
Right.
We need Zeke. Without Zeke for the star, Christmas is over. Let's just picture. Christmas is that beautiful gift that come in December called the Lombardi Trophy. Without Zeke, we got September, no October, November, then you go straight to January. Get rid of December. It is over. This dude is penalized by all the other dudes who are subpar, less than he is, less than he is, and now we gotta pay him according to them. I think that's totally insane. Zeke is worth more to the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys will get nowhere without Zeke. Mm-hmm. All Zeke has done was come in and run the football and lead them to NFC East Championship.
Yep.
Two out of the 3 years.
Yep.
I am on Zeke's side because I own love the star above all.
Right.
Well, I guess, but he does sound like one of those old-time Eagle fans before they won the Super Bowl, you know. These NFC East titles are getting awfully important.
Well, I know, but without an NFC East title, you're not going to get any Super Bowl.
Well, now you really sound like one of those old-time Eagle fans.
Okay. It's not like he's, you know, Donovan McNabb been playing 12 years here. Come on.
Look, I just want to say to our Eagle fan friends out there, do you see now? Do you see how much fun it is when you've won one of these things and you get to do things like that? I did that on your behalf.
I know.
Now they're in the club, Tom. We have to teach them right.
Yep. They'll figure it out. That's not a good
Well, I'm problem. Sure. And they'll probably come up with a joke about my team.
All right. Well, then now Stephen A., he's going to take his turn about whether he's on Zeke's side or the Cowboys. Obviously, you know where he's going to go.
He's talking about Ezekiel Elliott is all this, right? Don't get me wrong.
Go ahead.
He's a stud. He's the best player on the Dallas Cowboys. He's the best running back in football. I'm not refuting any of that, right? But I'm looking at a Dallas Cowboys roster right here, ladies and gentlemen. Amari Cooper's 25.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott's 23. Dak Prescott's 25. Jalen Smith, bad brother, 24.
Bad brother.
Leighton Vander Esch is 23.
Right.
Byron Jones, 26. DeMarcus Lawrence, 27. Oh. Zach Moore, 28.
Mm.
So I'm talking about a young Dallas Cowboys squad ranked sixth defensively, by the way. Sixth defensively, by the way. Okay. Best defense that they've had in years. Michael Irvin, who's been bloviating about the Cowboys and how they all
rap,
is basically saying you're nothing without Ezekiel Elliott. That's how pathetic you sound. I'm not finished. Wait a second now.
Now we talk about
the Dallas Cowboys in terms of who I'm going to side with. I'm going to roll with the Cowboys in this. I'm going to sit up there and say, I understand that you need to pay Ezekiel Elliott. My problem is, why can't he wait? What has he done to rush? His misbehavior, getting suspended.
Yeah.
All right, he was just in the commissioner's office weeks ago. Oh, by the way, Dak Prescott, you got to pay him. Amari Cooper's the number one receiver. You got to pay him because you traded for him.
Oh, God.
Oh, by the way. Oh, by the way.
Michael going to justify his whole argument here.
This is the part that gets under my nerves. Because we don't mind paying the Mike Glennons $20 million a year, $18 million.
Oh, I'm on it.
We let it go. Nobody don't say, oh, that's too much. We don't mind paying the Sam Bradfords $25
million. I said that too.
And they sit on their tank right on that bench.
Wait.
What?
I did not catch that the first time I... Did he say they sit right on their taint with that bitch? Is that what he said?
I don't know. Is that what he said?
What? No way. Hold on now. All right. So he's like, people are going to get upset. They're going to pay Zeke all this money, but they can go out and hand $25 million to Sam Bradford. He got all that guaranteed money in Minnesota and got hurt right at the beginning of the year and never played for him again. Glendon and whatever his name is.
Glennon.
Mike Glennon.
And he gets 20. The human pencil.
Right.
Remember him?
So, right. You know, I get that. Yeah, I'm like, okay, then why are you going to? Because it's a running back. You know, like you said, Melvin Gordon. They're going to give him $10 million a year. And you said, well, he's a running back. But he wants Todd Gurley. He wants Todd Gurley money. But you're not Todd Gurley.
He ain't
going
to get it.
You're not Zeke. You're not Todd Gurley. You've been hurt.
Look at Todd Gurley, dude. The dude's knees might be done.
I know.
He's got serious problems there, whether they want to hide and say that it's not that serious or not. I guarantee you he's going to have another season where he's kind of limited. And they paid a lot of money. I think that with running backs, I think nowadays with the slotted contracts, they think they can get better value later down the line.
Yeah, but Zeke is special. I will say that.
He's special.
Yeah, you know.
Hooray!
He is. He's you know, Melvin Gordon is not Zeke. He's not. And Zeke is only 3 years into this. He came in very early. I think he was 20. And he's never been hurt, and he's extremely healthy and durable.
Zeke is Tom's favorite player.
All right. Anyway, let's continue. Let's go back and see if Michael said that.
Yes, I'm not paying the Sam Bradfords $25 million.
Well, I said that,
and they sit on their tank right on that bitch. Oh,
he did say that they sit right on their tank on that bitch.
You said taint.
For $25 million.
I said that.
And they sit on their tank right on that bitch.
Oh. What else would he be saying?
There's nothing else. That's what he said.
And they sit on their tank right on that bitch. Oh.
What in the hell? Are you kidding?
ESPN, you've got to put these two on. Hour and a half every day. Let them debate everything.
Right on that bitch.
Put it right on there.
Right on that bitch.
Right.
Right on that bitch all the time.
That's right.
We don't mind any of that.
Yes,
but when a man like Zeke, who has touched the ball more than anybody in the NFL, and he missed six games, more than anybody except the quarterbacks. That's why we pay him so much, because
right.
they touch the ball so much.
Right.
I know you hear all the time, the defense wins championship, but the reality is points win. At the end of the game, they do not say who played the best defense. They say who had the most points, and that ball has to go across the goal line to score points, and we give that ball to Ezekiel Elliott, and that's what he does. He takes it across the goal line, and he scored 2 points. That's why you need Zeke more than you need any of that other stuff you just talked about.
Oh my God.
Dude, that would be an awesome television show.
Right?
That would be an awesome television show, those two. Irvin can get as frothy as the best of them.
Oh yeah.
That was great.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't matter whether he's right.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Jerry says he's going to get the contract done. They don't expect it to be done before they leave Oxnard out of camp and all that. So we'll see what happens.
No. Zeke, he just doesn't feel like coming out to California. The fact of the matter is there's a couple of warrants out here for him beating up a couple of security guards one night down at a movie theater.
Hey, hey, you know what they say, John? Next man up.
Next man up. Yeah, okay, after Zeke, right.
Well, they got the next man up that took his spot in Ohio State, Mike Weber. They drafted him. He took Zeke's spot.
Well, but that's how college football works.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do.
All right. So let me go to this SI report. This is quick about the Washington Redskins. It says the organization is reportedly in disarray as NFL training camps approach in August, according to, and I'll bet you know who this is, 106.7 The Fan's Chris Russell.
And one of his sources, right?
Well, it says, Washington has reportedly experienced a mass exodus of employees since January, a large share of departures coming from the business end. This is from the business end of the organization. Russell says, and I get you, I have been told this by multiple people.
Multiple people.
Almost 40
exponential
people.
Amounts of people.
He says almost 40 people have left behind the scenes. We're not talking about football players or coaches. Nobody wants to work there. It's a terrible culture. Now, Russell didn't pin the organization's struggles on Dan Snyder. He's blaming Bruce Allen, who has been, he's been there, what, since 2010? And he says, everybody thinks on my end that I just have it out for Bruce Allen. If I'm being honest, I don't think he's a good leader. I don't think he's a good person. I don't think he treats people well.
That's right. He sits down when he pees, too, Tom. That's what I've read.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, that's right. He eats pizza with a knife and a fork.
All right. I just wondered. I thought that was interesting. So it really has nothing to do with the team on the field or the coaching staff or the players or even Dan Snyder. It's just about Bruce Allen and how he treats, I don't know, I guess the janitor or something.
There's been a lot of office people that have left over the last year.
Well, like secretaries and stuff?
Look, I'll tell you what. The Redskins are bleeding fans like crazy. Okay, we are literally...
That's true. That's true.
We've lost more ticket sales than any other team in the league over the last 10 years. We've lost more season ticket sales. Now I hear them now on the preseason games, they're advertising for group tickets. We sound like, you know, one of these teams that are struggling to sell tickets, because that's what they are. You know, nobody wants to come to this goddamn thing anymore because Snyder's run it right into the ground and they can't figure out how to fix it. They think that, well, wins cure everything, but you know, we'll see what happens when it comes down to that. But that, you know, so yeah, They've got all kinds of problems. Trent Williams, dude, have you heard that we've got a hold out of our own? If all pro tackle, Trent Williams, they're probably going to have to trade him because he says, well, okay, he says it's not about the money. You got to wonder who says what, because it's either he says or some source that knows another source that says a source, because I don't know that Williams has ever said anything, but that there's this problem with the medical staff. He had this growth on his head where he asked them, and they said, well, you should go get it checked out 2 years ago. He said, well, is it serious? They said, excuse me. They said, we don't think so. And so he didn't go get it checked out until 2 years later when he did go get it checked out. And that doctor apparently scared him and told him to get his affairs in order and then tested it and found out that it was nothing. So now he's all pissed off and demanding that the medical staff all be canned. They all be fired. And that he's never going to play for the team again. Who knows? I say what Deion Sanders always says. When they say it's not about the money, it's about the money.
It's always about the money, isn't it? It's always about the money.
It's always about the money. So the Redskins being dysfunctional is nothing new. I'll tell you what, man. They're hiring. I'm not going
to
bother with it.
It has nothing to do with the team on the field. What this story is about is the office, and I'm picturing secretaries, maybe some executive-type people that are, you know, accountants, whatever, won't have any impact whatsoever on the team on the field. They're still going to suck. So it's not a big deal. It's not a good story. Doesn't really matter.
Till they miss a flight because somebody didn't book it because they got pissed off and quit.
All right, let's go to another Washington radio station, ESPN 980, with Scott Jackson and the Morning Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, which is, it's an Al Galdi show. I like Al Galdi. Yeah. And Scott Jackson must have been filling in. Scott Jackson, who holds almost, I think he's third right now in the rankings of largest forehead in Washington.
Yes, he filled in, and Freddie Smoop went, ooh, look, they got the substitute teacher in. I'm going to fuck with him.
Freddie Smoot.
Yep,
Freddie Smoot, who, remember, we have discovered Freddie Smoot sounds a lot more like Andy Fife or a Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, he's on, and they take questions. If you want to call in and ask Freddie anything at all, you just call up and ask him. But then something else came up while they were getting ready to do that.
Just a philosophical question. I mean, you don't have to be on Twitter to answer this. If you were on Twitter, if you're not, if you are, whatever it may be, but many of you are. Do you think following OJ, is there something wrong with you? Because I can't get past it. I mean, people are retweeting his breakdown of the damn Democratic debate last. Are you serious?
I don't retweet it. I just follow it.
But people are like really, like, I know a lot of people that say, I ain't followed him, but then they like.
They followed him.
They react to everything he says.
Right. Like, what's the difference in following OJ and following Ray Caruso?
I really follow him for the comments.
Oh, my God. I didn't catch that.
They're hilarious.
No, I'm with you.
He said, what's the difference between following OJ and following Ray Caruth?
Who follows Ray Carruth? What the fuck is that?
No, I know, but he's just trying to make an announcement. He's like, you follow OJ, you might as well be following another murderer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
Let me make a bad analogy.
Wow.
Because they're hilarious.
No, I'm with you. The comments section has got its own dark humor value.
The thing about Twitter is Twitter is the bathroom wall of the internet.
Yeah. Now that is a great analogy. And I would just say that about social media in general anymore is the bathroom wall of the internet. That is great.
I've got it. Tom, I'm telling you, Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott are covering up a car accident in which people were maimed and killed.
Yes.
People just go on there and write, you know,
whatever they want. Yeah, no, you're right.
And then you look at it and you're like,
by the way, you know, Huff was the guy that gave, like, put his friend's phone number on the wall in the bathroom. He's that kind of guy.
I put your number on
there. Well, I was known for writing poetry in the bathroom.
Really?
I was known as the shithouse poet.
Easy. Hello. All right.
I was the shithouse poet. Hey, everybody over here, look at me, shithouse poet.
That is so great.
What? He's a shithouse poet. Well, dang, Andy, I'm the shithouse poet. That's probably one of those episodes that we didn't get to see of the Andy Griffith Show, in which Barney was exposed as the person writing graffiti inside of Otis's shithouse.
I was known as the shithouse poet.
Easy, hello.
Easy, hello.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. Oh, my God. There's people. Oh, he's speaking like a real human being. They're going to find us.
So here's the thing. If you were listening to that on the radio, because they went on to talk about they were letting their delay ramp crank their delay ramp back up, because if you were listening to that on the radio, you did not hear him say that. You were, if you're listening.
Oh, I know. They dropped it out.
Yeah, but you get it, because if you're listening to it streaming live, it doesn't get dropped. And it doesn't matter, because it's not on broadcast radio. It's on the internet. So it's not a violation of any FCC rules. But what happens is your stream on the internet is taking your live feed, and when you hit the delay button, that'll dump seconds off whatever just came through the board that's going to the transmitter. So it gets dumped, and you don't hear it on the, if you're listening like to the radio in your car, but if you're listening online, you still hear it.
Remember when satellite first came out, satellite television first came out, you had to have one of those big, giant, 12-foot-wide dishes in the backyard like you were, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they would have those channels that were like, I can't remember what they were called, but they were the uplink. That's what they were called. They were the uplink channels to like NBC. So while NBC, your local affiliate, would be showing the end of the local news, they would be showing Tom Brokaw getting his fucking makeup done, picking his nose and shit.
Yes.
All kinds of goofy shit for half an hour while they were leading up to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you get everything.
Right.
Hey, Fred Spoop is the ship's house poet, Tom. The ship's house poet. I got some poetry for you. Got some poetry for you. Fred Spoop, say, as I sit here in the shitter, my eyes begin to tear, because the smell is so bad it makes me quiver and reminds me of my football career. I could not cover. I could not tackle. And people will say what they will, though. My biggest mistake was out on a lake with a purple double-headed dildo. So now I sit here in the shade, just a-farting and a-shitting, and I write these words of wisdom to you. On a boat, always wear your mittens.
I love it.
Previous Moop out.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, we got to wrap up here. We got to get through a couple more things real quick. Then we got a question for an email question for somebody. So let's do this real fast.
Tom's on a rush. Yeah,
I know. We got to, though. We got a new Madden came out. Madden 2020 is out. And, you know, I just got it. I literally got it yesterday. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I can't wait. It looks amazing. But it's out. And, you know, players see their ratings and they get upset or whatever. So here is Quinnen Williams, you know, Jets defensive end Quinnen Williams.
Our favorite rookie.
Yes, yes. He's talking about his Madden rating. He's not. He doesn't sound upset yet. He's got to try it out.
My rating, I got an 80 on Ultimate Team, so I'm going to go play with myself today. So see how I feel. That came out weird.
Yes, it did. I love the media's laughing. They were laughing before, and then he realized what he said.
I'm going to go play with myself today.
He's the one that was at the draft that sneezed and then blessed himself and then thanked himself for blessing himself. We're going to love some Quinnen Williams, that's for sure.
I think so. Yeah, he's going to be a fun one. And then you got, this is different, This is Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an observation about the new Madden game, and he's no longer going to criticize his players for being upset about their rating, and here's why.
I had seen a bunch of guys kind of getting in their feelings about their ratings, and then somebody sent me a picture of what I look like on there, and so I want to get adjusted on looks rating. So I was mad. I look like I'm on The Walking Dead in that picture. So, yeah, I apologize to any of those players that I thought, hey, it's just a video game. Why are you upset? Because I saw my picture on there, and I'm not pleased with where we're at. So I have to work on that.
He looks like a zombie in the game, and he's upset about it. So he wants it changed.
Dude, have you noticed who you're playing for or who you're coaching for? Right. You are The Walking Dead.
I don't know.
The Walking Dead.
I don't know. They got Kyler Murray now, man.
I know they got Kyler Murray, but you know what? The NFL is the NFL. And that means that when you try to run things out there and say, okay, we're going to run this college boy offense, it really doesn't need a really athletic offensive line because this guy is so badass. You know what happens to that guy? He ends up in the hospital with all kinds of wires and shit holding him together.
Exactly.
Right. Right. So if you buy, all right, when you play the new Madden, I expect to report and find out whether or not it is even worth it because all the older versions, they don't seem to have anything new. I got to buy a new version of it anyway because I got a PS4, so I got to buy something for myself. So
there you go.
Is it worth getting?
I will let you know. I will next show, I will report back with that.
All right. This is the homework for Tom.
That's homework I can get behind.
All right, I want to hear about this NCAA and its attendance problem.
Okay, so yeah, the NCAA, college football, is there for the past decade, their attendance has been in decline. And, you know, some teams are trying to do things to, you know, it's like I'm worried that they're going to start going down the road of like minor league baseball games. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some of the goofy ass shit they do.
Hey, everybody, right. It's free hot dog day down here at Michigan State.
Oh, we have that.
Down here.
Columbus Clippers, the Indians farm team, they dime a dog night.
Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you, these are the things you're going to start having for NCAA football games.
You know, they'll get goofy entertainers, you know, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald knows what the problem is, John. And in fact, it's a problem with society in general that's causing the decline in attendance. And here it is.
I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. I think, you know, watching young people today live like this. Oh. Instead of like that, you know, Stacey and I were out on a date last.
Okay, so he said live like this, and then he points his head down like he's looking at his phone, and he says instead of living like this, and then he puts his head up and is looking around.
You know, Stacey and I were out on a date last night, and there was two groups of couples sitting next to us, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm old. Like, not one of the four couples were talking to each other. They were all on their phones, and it just drove me up to, I literally wanted to be like a dad and go like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean, this is pathetic. So it was really, really pathetic. And I think it's just changed the way a lot of younger people and younger fans intake is all through technology. And I mean, you watch a concert and everybody's holding their phone up. Like, listen, watch, take it in.
Yeah. Right.
Create a memory. Because they don't go back and watch the videos. They just want to post it on their social media. Which is pathetic because it creates a society of, look at me, isn't my life great? Even though when they go home, they're like, I hate myself, I hate my life, everything's wrong. So I think it's a big cause. I think it's the root cause, number one. You know, I think the fans that grew up going and tailgating and the fans that grew up going to the stadiums 4 hours before the games are getting a little older. And I think the next and younger generation of fans are more reliant on technology. They'd rather have 12 TVs set up in their TV watching cave than go to a game and experience the pageantry and the tailgating. So I think it's definitely things that we need to look at as a brand, college football, on how we can maybe create that type of environment and experience while respecting our communities and our neighborhoods to make sure the experiences that are happening don't impede on those neighborhoods.
But don't you think those kids are looking at him going, whatever, old man?
It's a new world, man. And yeah, they're all going to look at it on their phone, and they're all going to look at it from all the millions and zillions of cameras and everything like that that pays the salary for guys like, you know, that run college football programs.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's all that money there? You know, and it's finally overtaken them in terms of price. The younger generation, as bad as it sounds for us older people, Tom, they have a whole different set of priorities in terms of how they ingest things. I was reading something the other day that was anticipating the fact that there was going to be more football fans soon that are not football fans of any particular team, but more football fans of their fantasy players than anything else.
Right.
There's going to be more of them than there are of us that watch the game because it's our team, you know, that root for our team. So everything's changing. The whole fucking world is changing in terms of things like that. So you're either going to have to roll with it or you're going to have to shut the fuck up. And that's the way I feel about it. So, you know.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Let's see. We have a question for Ben Roethlisberger. You know, we got this situation going on in Oakland with Antonio Brown.
By the way, I just wanted to point out that dude took a gigantic leap that said that people aren't going to college football games, so the entirety of society is falling apart.
Right. Well, hey.
People don't want to pay the fucking $100 to go to watch a football game. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, the cost, that's the problem. I can tell you that right now. The prices are out of, it's just like going to NFL games, you know. You're paying ridiculous amounts of money for tickets, and you're paying ridiculous amounts of money for, you know, food and drink.
The park, for everything.
All of it, yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, sorry, man.
Being bled.
Sorry. That's your problem. You need to lower your fucking prices, and you'll see the stadiums fill up.
Yep, okay, that's what happens.
And the other thing, I think another part of the problem though is the teams. You know, you've got a group of teams that are elite, and you know your team can't compete. It's like, I'm tired of going and watching. You know, if you're Indiana or Illinois, are you sick and tired of watching Ohio State and Penn State, Michigan beat your teams? You know, why? What am I going
to happen again this year, baby?
What am I going to this game for? You know, and I mean, this goes back to maybe they need one super conference that has the best teams to have their own, you know, separate thing with their own championship. And then you need to, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but this is, people are sick of it.
Younger people are different in that they don't care in that regard. They go to the fucking school and they don't really give a shit about that kind of aspect of it. Some of them do, but a lot of them nowadays, man, they're all free agents out there now, and they are more interested in their own goddamn lives than anything else. And that doesn't mean that they're shallow. That doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means it's a whole different world. Dude, they don't even have places to live. They just go from place to place to place to place. Work, 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 work. They collect. There was a lot of people that I worked with over the summer that are young that live with their parents for 2 weeks out of the year, and that's their home base. And the rest of the year, they're traveling, working job after job after job after job.
Also, students at the schools, a lot of them won't go to the game because they can sell their tickets if they're at a big school for so much money. I mean, my daughter goes to Alabama. My daughter goes to Alabama, and she, you know, she sells her tickets because that's the thing is you talk about the money. We, you know, fans who don't go to the school, they don't have the access to tickets that students have, and then the students will charge them a lot more money to buy their tickets. Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to that.
I think that football has reached a saturation / price point. That's what I think has happened. People have seen declines in all kinds of attendance and everything. We've talked about Thursday night football being a little bit of an oversaturation, but I think the price of it, everything, and it's just, people are like, okay, well, we can watch it at home. We've got a good experience at home.
And
the NFL and all NCAA built. They built it. So we're using it.
It looks great on television. It's not a problem to sit on my nice comfy couch in my controlled environment with my bathroom and my kitchen, and it's awesome. So I get it. I get it. All right. We got to move on. We got to go.
I know. We're way late.
I know. You keep talking.
Oh, I do.
I'm sorry. Eric Stoll. We nicknamed him the official show Eric.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Eric Stoll, the official show Eric.
So real quick, tell everybody why Antonio Brown is threatening to retire.
Okay. Well, what he says about his helmet, everybody's, you know, making it sound like he's being such a diva, and he is, but the NFL has finally chosen a single helmet that you're supposed to use, and several players are going to have to give in their older helmet. They were allowed to use it last year, but now they've got to change. Tom Brady's one of them. Antonio Brown is one, and he doesn't want to do it. And he has actually gone so far as to try to paint his Steelers helmet to look like a Raider helmet. I bet you it looked like something a fourth grader
did. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, right. He's going to retire.
He had this great idea, and it ended up looking like something a fucking fourth grader did.
So he's going to retire and give back all that guaranteed money? Yeah, I don't think so. But Eric Stoll, the official show Eric, He wants to know what Ben Roethlisberger thinks of Antonio Brown's helmet.
I think that it's probably way too small because, you know, it pinches his head. It makes him do stupid stuff like, you know, threaten to turn in all that money for a stupid hat. You know, he says that his helmet is going to, the new helmet, he says it gets in his way when he's trying to catch the ball. There's something up there over his face he can't see. It's a load of crap, you know, something that makes it sound like an excuse to me. Now he's got that pretty boy David Carr throwing him the ball, and I think that David Carr isn't going to do it nearly as well as me, Ben Roethlisberger, because you know what, Tom?
What?
I don't believe that David Carr has won any Super Bowls.
Nope.
And I have won two.
Yep.
So I think that that's he's making preeminent excuses. You saw that prior to wanting to even leave, you know, he says, you know, this is, I've got to make these principled stands and everything like that. And now I'm out here in Oakland, but I know that David Carr is going to suck, and I don't want to let Ben Roethlisberger know that I miss him. So I'm going to burn my feet at the bottom of a whatever fucking chamber, you know.
That's right. He got frostbite. I mean, you know, frostbite.
He did. That's ridiculous. I mean, geez, you know, you're going to go, I love you so much. I want to see you. And if I can't, I'm going to freeze my feet off. That's some kind of high school girl stuff, you know. You know, it's like, you know, I don't even want to bang you in the bathroom of a freaking men's room toilet in a bar or something, you know.
Right.
So, so that's what I think of his helmet. It's too small. It's been pinching his brain.
All right. There you go, Eric. We are through preseason week one, and we will be back within 2 weeks. We'll be back within 2 weeks, and then we're rolling. Then the season's on, and it's time, folks. NFL is here. Here we go.
Yeah. And as usual with the first couple of shows of the season, hey, we're ironing out lumps. It's freaking preseason. We're trying to figure out our way this right now for this year. We're throwing punches.
Exactly. There you go.
That's right.
All right.
That was good.
We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Well, I like school, and I like football, and I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
I love football.
In football, you wear a helmet.
Yay! We win! We win! I kicked the home run! Yay!
I'm on the football team.
I'm on the football team.
I'm on the football team.
Touchdown!
I like football.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Real old-fashioned guts.
Go for the touchdown. I need another 5 points to cover the spread.
I will not rest until I have you holding a coat, wearing your own shoe, playing a Sega game featuring you while singing your own song in a new commercial starring you, broadcast during the Super Bowl in a game that you are winning.
I'm on the football team. I'm on the football team.
You got something to say? Email bangradiohour@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @bangradiohour and on the Bang Radio Hour Facebook page. Subscribe to the Bang Radio Hour YouTube channel for new Bang cartoons. And please consider becoming a patron of the show by going to bangradiohour.com and clicking the patron button. You can help us defer costs of bringing you this podcast and Bang cartoons for about the price of a cup of coffee. We appreciate your support.
And that's Eli with the interception to seal the launch. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com. Order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our pad thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.